the Dial from Aspen Public Radio, in-depth conversations about current Roaring Fork Valley issues with the reporters who know them best. I'm Kristen Kay. It's March 30th.
So the early season snow was much more stable than usual, but that changed in January. We got this really wet snow in January.
The backcountry calls to many skiers here. Most people who venture out onto the untracked slopes know to check the conditions and to have a healthy respect for avalanche danger. But what happens during an unusual winter like this one, when the snowpack becomes even more unpredictable than normal? In mid-March, Blaze Reardon from the Colorado Avalanche Information Center discussed this at a gathering hosted by Powder to the People. Environment reporter Elizabeth Stewart Severy was there, and we sat down to talk about what she learned. So Elizabeth, this winter did seem atypical and pretty short. How about the snowpack? What was unique about that this year?
Well, like you said, it was shorter than usual. We didn't get an early season snowfall that stuck around. So you'll remember how dry it was in November. And usually we get snow in September or October that sticks around and becomes a deep, persistent, weak layer, a weak base layer. We didn't get that this year. So the early season snow was much more stable than usual, but that changed in January. We got this really wet snow in January. Usually storms will dump that wet snow over mountains that are closer to the Pacific, like the Sierras or the Wasatch Range. So the snow that we got in January was unusual for us. It was more typical of a different snow climate.
What effect did that have in the backcountry?
Well, backcountry conditions change daily. So Blaze is very clear that the best way to understand avalanche danger is to check daily forecasts. But across the season, there were just different conditions than we usually see. So Blaze says that this year we saw
More frequent storms, instabilities that taper off quicker, and avalanche problems that are closer to the surface.
So we had several slides in our area where the slabs were quite shallow because that weak layer is closer to the surface of the snowpack. It was only about 2 feet or less from the surface. And Blaze says that sometimes that weak layer was actually quite challenging to locate in the slides because those weaknesses were just in pockets across the terrain.
What caused those weak layers?
Well, one issue that we saw this year that's unusual for Aspen is called surface hoar, which is basically frost. So Blaze compared skiing across surface hoar to skiing across broken champagne glasses. It's these large frost feathers, and that's the kind of layer that can collapse. So it's quite persistent in cold, cloudy climates, but it's not usually a problem here because we usually get long dry spells. So surface hoar does form in Aspen. It forms in Aspen quite regularly, but usually we get these long dry spells where the sun will destroy that layer before it gets buried, but not this year. So this year, a storm buried a layer of surface hoar that Blaze says contributed to about 50% of the documented close calls and avalanche incidents in the Aspen zone. It's not something local skiers are used to seeing, and Blaze said there were incidents reported that were a result of that layer for 24 days. So that kind of persistence is typical of this type of a weak layer.
This layer appears to have stabilized and then boom. That's the classic nature of surface hoar. It's unpredictability and it's pockety distribution.
So that led to several incidents in January, most of which involved a relatively shallow slide, but some that still caused some pretty serious injuries.
Sounds like even people who are pretty knowledgeable about typical conditions here might have underestimated some danger because it was such a weird snowpack.
Right, just different for us.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so it's spring, it's getting warmer. People still want to get in a few backcountry turns. What are current conditions?
Blaze actually mentioned this when he was up here, that he hasn't posted a high avalanche danger in quite a long time. He is really clear that while it's interesting to look at an entire season, especially one like this where Aspen sees something different than usual, the best way to stay safe is to look at conditions in real time. So here's Blaze.
The reality is that on a given day, paying attention to current conditions is what's going to keep us safe.
So that means snowfall and temperature to start with, and then also things that take real attention to detail. So paying attention to changes in terrain. So for example, yesterday the forecast in our area said that the avalanche danger was moderate, but that increases on specific terrain, on steeper slopes at higher elevations.
So the best bet is to just check the daily forecast.
Yeah, exactly. And you can do that at the Colorado Avalanche Information Center website.
Okay, thanks, Elizabeth.
Thanks, Kristen.
This is The Dial from Aspen Public Radio. That was Elizabeth Stewart Severy, our environment reporter, talking about the unique backcountry conditions this ski season. everybody, here's what else you need to know today. Next week, Glenwood Springs residents will choose city council members in two separate races. Our reporter Wyatt Orm interviewed all the candidates, asking them the same questions. Hear their answers on our website at aspenpublicradio.org. And Carrie Donovan represents a portion of the Western Slope, including Aspen and Basalt in the Colorado State House. Recently, two separate bills she introduced regarding broadband access were defeated on party lines. Allison Bechtesh spoke with the senator about the politics at work behind her measures. You've been listening to The Dial. I'm Kristen Kay. To hear more extended interviews, go to aspenpublicradio.org.